producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So there we go. We're hitting our second segment for the Paracast with Gene and Chris. The book is Astonishing Encounters about Pennsylvania's Unknown Creatures. Stan Gordon wrote the book. And we're just detailing case after case here, and it just keeps going on. So we have a lot of questions from our listeners that Chris will get to shortly, Stan. I just want to ask you here, as we're looking over all these horrifying things here, do you find a situation that sometimes happens elsewhere where you're investigating a case, possibly UFO sighting, but when you talk to the people, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more going on with that particular witness. What's your perception?
Oh, yeah, that's not unusual at all. But also, you got to be very careful how you interview the witnesses. You don't want to put thoughts in their minds. You don't want to put words in their mouth. They got to be really careful how you interview people. But very commonly over the years, when we are out to different locations and interviewing people about one type of phenomena, when you begin to listen to their story, a lot of them are so reluctant to bring it up, but you find out that there was a lot of other things that may have been going on around their property as well. You know, some of them, you know, they call you on a UFO case, but then they're talking about hearing strange sounds and their animals reacting strange and hearing strange screams and then seeing something large and hairy or something else. And some of them have history of other type of paranormal events that have gone on themselves or other members of the family. So quite often you begin to hear these things, and I've dealt with multitudes of people over the years who themselves or their families have had a history of dealing with all kind of phenomena.
Stan, have you noticed, like during flat periods, like in 73, that there's an unusual amount of government or military activity in these areas? Have you noticed any sort of either official or unofficial apparent interest by the government in these flap areas and these inexplicable events that are being reported?
I can say yes. What I should do, if you don't mind, maybe I should finish up the end of that story, because that's where we might bring in some of this other questions you're asking about.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's finish up with that, because we're getting to the good part.
Let's give a little summary here. So the object just physically disappears after the man shot that tracer at that large creature. And at that point, the two creatures slowly turn around, start walking back towards the woods along the barbed wire fence. At that point, the man starts firing live ammo into the creatures. And I remember I was in touch with him for years after this happened. He's now deceased. And he told me how he'll never forget how the biggest of the creature with his glowing green eyes just kept staring back at him as he's fired into it with his 30-06, and there's no effect on these creatures whatsoever, which, you know, I don't recommend people shooting these things, but during the time it happened, as I mentioned in my Silent Invasion book, when I go into great detail about all these cases, that numerous people did shoot at these creatures with different type of weapons, and there was no indication that they were slowed down or hurt whatsoever. And so anyhow, at that point, these fellows run back to the truck, get out of the area, go back to the farmhouse. They take the family out of there to a neighbor, and they call the state police. And when the trooper arrives 45 minutes later, he said, "I'm here to investigate the incident." And the witness was very reluctant to talk about it. He said, "Look, just forget about it. You're going to think I'm crazy." And the trooper said, "Look, we had a report last night, the night before, of two similar creatures up on the mountain. I have to investigate the incident." So they go up in the troop car, from the patrol car, up into the pasture, and they're looking around for evidence. And what the trooper told me was, over on in the area where the object was on the ground or right above it, that whole area was self-luminescent and glowing, about 100 feet or more in diameter. The farm animals wouldn't go into it. He shined his flashlight beam until he could barely see the beam. He said, if he had a newspaper, He could sat down within that glowing area and read the newspaper from the light coming off of it. And it began to get even stranger and stranger, the account. At that point, they soon after, they went back to the barracks. When they went back to the state police barracks, both the trooper and the witness were taken to two separate rooms and were separately interviewed. And then they contacted me to send my team up. And then other things got even stranger, which we didn't even have time to even get into. Got stranger while we were there on the scene that night. The late Dr. Berthold Schwartz, whose name you probably recognize, was a very well-known psychiatrist. He came up here on his own, spent about a week up here interviewing all the people who were involved in the case and went away convinced these people all telling the truth. But it's a very, very intriguing story. Which I wrote the whole thing up in Silent Invasion because it's very detailed and gets extremely even stranger. That's interesting. But now to answer your question, there were a number of things that happened during the 70s, even before the 70s, and cases since then. Some of the cases that I worked on which suggested that there may have been a government interest in what was going on. Yeah. But, yes, I can tell you, during that time period, the 73 and 74 with this massive wave, a number of odd things had occurred. I can tell you that there were some strange accounts. One was an incident at a trailer park where we had been out investigating another incident in a little town called Harmony, and there had been a sighting that evening of a Bigfoot about 45 feet away from witness in the garden. Not far from this dog was going crazy when this thing was nearby, and the state police had called my team to go out to investigate it. We were down there investigating it, and as we're finishing up that evening, we get a call over the 911 radio in my car that the police up in Derry Township, which again, that's borders the Chestnut Ridge of Westmoreland County. It still is one of the most active areas year after year for Bigfoot encounters. Why, we don't know. But anyhow, that they had an incident that evening out at this mobile home community, and they wanted our team up there as soon as we could. So we left from the other scene and proceeded up to that location. And anyhow, when we got there, we found out that people in this mobile home, they heard something scratching on the back of their trailer, heard like a baby crying sound, and the power was going on and off in their mobile home. So when we got there and we interviewed the people, we found that the woman had opened up the back door, and here's a Bigfoot, I think, standing there. It runs between the trailers. Other people see it, and it screams and runs off. But we also found that the main power line, here's a power connection again, from the power supply that went underground to the trailer had been pulled out of the ground, and found that very fascinating. The police had got there before we did, found some footprints, possible footprints, and preserved them for us to look at when we got there. But here's the interesting thing of some of the oddities. I believe it was about a week later, and I wrote it in my book. I can't remember the exact date now. I was on the phone with another call when I got an emergency call from the operator breaking in that the woman at that site needed to talk to me right away. And when she did, she told me that this man had shown up at the trailer court. He was acting very unusual. He indicated to her that he knew me or was working with me, and he wanted to talk to her about the incident the other night. And the reason she called was she had found some hair right over along that part of the trailer where the footprints were, and she wanted me to have these hair samples, and she couldn't get a hold of me. And this guy told her that he would take the samples and give them to me, and, of course, we never found out who that guy was, and I never received the samples. But before he left, there was a little boy standing there with one of those old Polaroid cameras you pulled out, and the film came out and exposed right there on the scene. He was taking some pictures of the footprints, and he went over and pulled the pictures out of the kid's hand and tore them up and made some kind of comment, you made pictures for us, and the guy went and destroyed the footprints, and people started yelling, and he got out of it really quick. He said he almost turned his car sideways speeding out of the area. And we never did find out who this guy was. So that was interesting. But going back to that case in Fayette County of the UFO landing and the Bigfoot, very intriguing case. We spent many days up in that area, going back, interviewing people, searching the area, checking up on that case. And For years, we did follow-up investigations.
The book is Astonishing Encounters. We're talking to Stan Gordon with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the sacral wedgie.
The human body is more than 60% water. Your brain and muscles are 75% water. And your blood is 92% water. Water is vital to your body, and alkalizing your water is the key to keep it running at its best. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops keep your entire body healthy, boosts energy, promotes weight loss, and even fights cancer. Call 800-518-7615 or go to AlkaVision.com to find out more. That's ALKAVision.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I can just sit back and listen. That's all I have to do. These incredible
things. Yeah, I'm loving these little details, like Bigfoot sounding like babies whining or crying. That's an unusual detail that I'm not aware of from other cases. That's a pretty interesting little correlation there.
Oh, yeah, and that was very common, you know, back in the day. and even, you know, more recent years, these people have told us these things make sounds like a woman in pain screaming, baby crying, high-pitched whistle. Another thing was very common, a case where people said these things were making sounds as though they were having trouble breathing, like they were having, like, asthma. Very, very deep breathing sounds. In fact, during one night on one of the farms, as these things kept coming back, and these people had a big cornfield, this thing had just come right by the barn, into the barn. We had footprints in there, and this thing was running through the cornfield, and we were chasing it through the cornfield in the dark, trying to catch up to this thing while it's making these loud sounds, and I was recording the sounds as I'm running through the field after it.
Oh, jeez. I'm not sure if I'd have the cojones to run after a Bigfoot with a tape recorder.
Now, you watch a lot of these shows over the years, been on TV with Bigfoot investigators, and they're out there looking for Bigfoot, and as I recall, some of them a few years ago, when they heard or saw something, they never went after it and went the opposite way.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the story I wanted to tell you about was what happened in one of our follow-up investigations with one of the key witnesses. I believe it was back in the 1980s, and we went back to follow up and do some follow-up with the main key witness, and we started talking to him. Now, we never did any hypnosis with him because some very odd things happened to him in the field that night, and we never did any hypnosis with him. But now, years later, we considered maybe that possibility. So I'm there with my assistant, the late George Lutz. George worked out with me in the field since about 1971, and he passed away a few years ago. He was a retired major in the Air Force Reserve, and he was a very good outdoorsman, and we investigated many, many cases together. And we were following up in this case, and as we're talking about hypnosis, the witness looks at us and says, "Why do you want to do it again?" And we looked at each other like, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, back when it happened," he said, he was telling us about an incident happened maybe 2 to 3 weeks after it happened in 1973. And we said, "What are you talking about?" Well, all these years, he thought that these two mystery men who met with him were part of my group. One of the guys that met with him, there was two men that came to his house to follow up, we found out at the time. One was dressed in an Air Force uniform. The other one was in a suit. I believe that it was the Air Force man that arrived there on the scene that he had with him. He was carrying a briefcase with him, the Air Force officer. And they wanted him to go into detail about what he remembered that night, what the craft, what the UFO looked like, what the creature looked like. And he gave a lot of detail. Then to his surprise, the Air Force guy opened up the briefcase and had all these photographs of both UFOs and Bigfoot. And I remember him telling me that one of the pictures of a Bigfoot was this large hairy creature climbing over a fence, I believe in Georgia, with a dead pig under its arm. And they wanted to know if it looked similar to what he saw. And then they asked permission. They said they'd like to hypnotize him, and apparently they did at that time. And after it was done, they said, "You know, we'll be in touch with you," and he never heard from them again.
Yeah. They hopped into their 1950s-era brand-new black Cadillac and disappeared.
But you also asked me, has been government interests? And I can tell you, during that time period, there was some other mystery men events that were going on as we're investigating all these cases, but I did receive a call from a man who told me that he worked for the government, that they were very interested in the investigations we were doing on Bigfoot. I was given the name of the phone number, an address, and a contact for a lab in Washington, D.C. in the event that we come across any bodies or any really significant physical evidence, which I never had the opportunity to need, unfortunately, at that time. But later on, I can tell you that I was actually visited, and I was in touch with these guys for years, and now at least one of them I know is deceased. They were actual representatives of our government, and they came at the time and were very interested in what I was doing, were very supportive. You know, I knew these guys for years after it happened. Anyhow, I gave them the phone number I was given. They confirmed it was an actual government official number in Washington. So, yes, there was some interesting things taking place.
Well, and then, of course, your very first cases, the infamous Kecksburg event, is filled with convoys and you know, security people keeping locals away from the area where this strange acorn-shaped object came down. For some of our new listeners who maybe aren't familiar with the Kecksburg case, why don't you give us a quick thumbnail on that one, especially mention what happened, what you suspect happened after the object was carted away.
Okay, well, we could spend days talking about Kecksburg, and as you may or may not be aware, this year is the 50th anniversary, so December 9th, 1965 is when it happened. This is the 50th anniversary approaching. So I've spent 50 years investigating this incident. I was 16 years old when it happened, Thursday night, December night, 1965. And as you realize, my interest began in 1959 when I was 10 years old. And to your surprise of your listeners, in all the years I've been doing this, which now this year is 56 years, I have never had my own UFO or Bigfoot encounter. And that surprises a lot of people.
What keeps you going, Stan? What keeps you going?
What keeps you going is the fact that you get people year after year whose lives are still changed by these events, that something is going on year after year that still we have no explanation for. And I guess I'm always hopeful that that next call, that next case, will provide the evidence that finally may close the door on some of these events. But it hasn't happened so far.
Well, that brings me to one of the questions here in our question bank by Gogs Mackay, who's one of our staff members here at the Paracast. And he mentions here that both Kecksburg and Roswell supposedly had military personnel threatening locals to keep silent. And he wonders if you've ever checked in to the legality of U.S. Armed Forces giving such orders on U.S. soil in peacetime. And after you've maybe addressed that question, then let's get a quick sort of blow-by-blow account of the actual Kecksburg event and some of your 50 years worth of your analysis summed up.
It'd be best for me to give you some of the scenario of what took place and then fill in with some of that and remind me also about a very interesting Men in Black situation with the Kecksburg incident. So actually, my interest in the Men in Black actually goes back. My first encounters as such, even though I wasn't there, but with witnesses talking about these type of experiences goes back to Kecksburg in 1965.
Let's do our break here, Stan, and then we'll talk about the Men in Black. Of course, we call them the Men in Black, the Galaxy Protectors, because we're repeating the song from Will Smith for the first movie, if you remember that. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Learn about our new lifetime membership for Paracast Plus. We have Stan Gordon. We're talking Astonishing Encounters and now Men in Black with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment, and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Attention, all men. Are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Are you having a slower, weaker stream? Don't ignore the warning signs of your aging prostate. Get your free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. Super Beta Prostate is guaranteed to support a more complete emptying of your bladder, a fuller, stronger stream, and less waking at night to urinate.
Super Beta Prostate is a product that I really like. I endorse it. I use it myself. I was very pleasantly surprised that Super Beta Prostate helped me fairly quickly.
Super Beta Prostate is formulated with a natural plant enzyme called beta-sitosterol. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 salt palmetto pills to get the same sterols as just one Super Beta Prostate tablet. Don't ignore the warning signs of your aging prostate. Call now to get your free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. Call 1-800-853-1203. That's 1-800-853-1203. 800-853-1203.
If you're like me, you're concerned about the stock market and the economy. You're asking the questions, but it just doesn't seem that you're getting the right answers. Well, my friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute not only have the answers, but they put together a free report, How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your 401ks, IRA Savings, and Retirement Income. Don't hesitate. This report's for free for a limited time by calling 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take back your financial lives today.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Stan Gordon, I was going to ask you about Men in Black because we discussed them on last week's show with Nick Redfern. So you've heard about people who run into so-called Men in Black. Are they supposedly, at least the encounters you've heard about, those who seem to be government agents or something else?
Well, I think from some of the accounts I've heard from different people and some of the cases I looked at that we may be dealing with more than one origin for some of these mystery men reports. But it's very fascinating. And over the years, because of the different cases I've been involved with, some of them are very, very strange encounters from what I'm recalling from many, many years ago. And other cases suggest it may well be government-related. So let me tell you about the Kecksburg case and how it might relate.
Before we go on hearing about the Men in Black in Kecksburg, I don't want to say that we're encountering any Men in Black phenomenon here. But it seems that over the past few weeks, we're hooked up with Chris through a pretty solid Skype connection. And it keeps getting knocked off. So I don't know. We're going to have to explore that. Okay, Stan, tell us about the MIB.
All right, well, let's go back to Kecksburg. It started Thursday night, December 9, 1965. I'm 16 years old. I'm tuned into KDK Radio in Pittsburgh. They have a well-known radio talk show. It's called Contact. The host of the show in Pittsburgh was the late Mike Levine. The reason I'm tuning in to listen to the show is he had Frank Edwards on, who was a well-known reporter, had written some books on unusual phenomena of flying saucers, and I wanted to hear what Frank Edwards had to say. So I'm listening to the radio show, and interestingly, almost the entire program is focusing on this breaking news story of this brilliant fiery object that was seen from Ontario, Canada, over Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Apparently, this object, whatever it was, moved in over the greater Pittsburgh area about 4:47 p.m. that afternoon. It's almost dark in Pittsburgh at the time, and there are multitudes of reports coming in from widespread areas to the Pittsburgh area radio, TV, newspapers, all the media sources, police departments. A lot of people thought an airplane had exploded in the sky. So I began to follow up on it that night. I began to write all the notes down I was getting from the broadcast. I'm running back and forth between the old black and white console TV and the radios, listening to try to get updates. And in Pittsburgh, KDK TV was breaking in with live reports that evening that the military was now arriving in the Kecksburg area to search for an unidentified flying object. So Kecksburg is a little farming community about 40 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. So this object is seen over the greater Pittsburgh area. What's fascinating is as the evening goes on, this is the major news story on Pittsburgh area radio and TV. And it's being broadcast, and they're telling people this object reportedly fell in Westmoreland County. And hundreds of people descend on this little farming community to try to get a look at the object, which is down in the Wooded Ravine. So not only do you have civilians all over the place, but you have reporters there from all the major news agencies, radio, TV, newspapers. They become a part of the story because they either see or interact with some of the military on the scene. And now the interesting thing is, you know, of course, I was 16 years old. I wasn't even driving yet. I had no way to get out to the area, so I'm listening to all the news broadcasts that night. The next day, it's the headlines in most all the local papers. It made national news. AP, UPI picked up the story. There was our local paper, the Greensburg Tribune. If you had two editions, the early morning edition had Army ropes off area, unidentified flying object falls near Kecksburg. And it went on to say that something apparently fell in the woods. Nobody is being allowed anywhere near the object, that there was talk that it may have been contaminated with radiation, that they're awaiting the arrival of Army engineers and civilian scientists to examine whatever it might have been. And then the later edition has a number of different stories, including one that has searchers fail to find object. And it goes on to say that, yes, there was a search, but the authorities found absolutely nothing. They blamed it on, it was just imagination, and what people saw was a bright meteor in the sky, but nothing had fallen to the ground. And that is basically how officially it remains today. So I remember within days, and I'm just giving a very abbreviated aspect of this right now, within days after it happened, there was talk all around that area that people saw a large military flatbed tractor trailer carrying a large tarped object out of the area late that night, which actually was early the next morning. And I can tell you that in the summer of 1990, before I did the Unsolved Mysteries TV premiere on this case, that a man contacted me. I checked his background out, and he didn't know that actually another person who was at the base had also confirmed the story. But he told me he was a member of the Air Police, a security team that guarded the object when it came in from Pennsylvania to Lockbourne Air Force Base near Columbus, Ohio, during the early morning hours of December 10th. He said a flatbed tractor trailer, military flatbed tractor trailer with a tarp object, came into the base from an entrance they didn't normally use, backed it into a hangar, and set up a security perimeter around it, and they were given a shoot-to-kill order to anybody that approached that hangar without the proper clearance. He told me he didn't stay on the team much longer, but he heard that the truck didn't stay there much longer, and it continued on to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base near Fairborn, Ohio. And then others later contacted me and told me exactly what building it went to at Wright-Patterson. So that's interesting. But anyhow, the interesting part of the story is this. You know, I spent years out in the field interviewing hundreds of people who were involved in the case that I was able to track down. Initially, there was very little information to go on. But over a period of weeks and months and years, I ran into people who were involved in the case. I got anonymous tips. I ran into people who had friends or neighbors or relatives who were involved. So now it's been hundreds of people I've interviewed. And I've learned so much, and there's still many unanswered questions, but I've learned a lot. And one thing I found out was that soon after this object fell, and whatever this object was, by the way, as it's moving in from Ohio to Pennsylvania, this thing is moving relatively slowly. It's making change in direction along its path. And those people saw it go down into the woods that afternoon said it did not come down at a high rate of speed. It did not come down, for example, like a meteor or reentry of space debris. It came down almost like it made a controlled landing, and nobody ever saw any parachutes. And what we now know is that soon after it fell, some local people, and then others came in, and they came across this large metallic acorn-shaped object semi-buried in the ground. Now, this thing is big enough for a man to move around inside of. They estimated one witness who was very close to it, he was a young volunteer fireman. He said this thing was probably 10 to 12 feet or more in length, but 8 to 10 feet in diameter. He had been a machinist all his life, and he said this thing looked like somebody took a liquid metal and poured it into an acorn-shaped mold. There's no rivet marks, no weld marks, no seams, no fuselage, no wings, no doors, no windows. But at the raised up back of the object, like you have on an acorn, there were these unusual markings that he said looked more like symbols than writing. And luckily, because of his background, he was somewhat familiar with Cyrillic or Russian, and he said that is definitely not what it was. So anyhow, we have eyewitnesses that saw the object on the ground. The military, once they got in, now, this happened again about 4:47 p.m., and this is a little farming community, like I said, about 40 miles southeast of Pittsburgh, and it was very intriguing that the military began to arrive so quickly. So there are some witnesses who swear they began to see a minor military presence that could be a jeep running around the area looking for what the thing came down within an hour or so after it fell. Most of the military came in within a few hours, which is still relatively quickly. And that really wouldn't be that unusual because you've got to remember, 1965 is Vietnam time. And there were many armories and military bases all over Pennsylvania and Ohio in the Pittsburgh area. So it would not be that unusual to have equipment and personnel that they can move pretty quickly. Indications were that whatever this thing was, it was probably being tracked, even though officially they claim it was not, it was all visual. Various sources over the years told me that it was indeed being tracked by radar, and that's how they were able to get the teams moving so quickly into the general area.
We got more to say about Kecksburg and more. MIB. Lots of things with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
My name's Clyde, age 59, now reside in Florence, South Carolina. The doctors diagnosed me as having clogged arteries. Felt like I was carrying heavy concrete blocks around my feet and legs. I started taking Heart and Body Extract as directed. It is less than 3 weeks and I'm like a young man again. It's unbelievable that an herbal formula can work so fast and so powerfully.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Ricky LeBlanc, admitted in Mass only. Sokolov Law, LLC, Chestnut Hill, Mass. Ken Levin, responsible attorney in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Greg Hobby, New Jersey. The choice of lawyer is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertisements. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, most cases of this type refer to other attorneys for principal responsibility. If you know what mesothelioma is, you or someone you love has likely been impacted by this devastating cancer. You may be entitled to compensation. Call Sokolov Law today. 1-800-218-HELP. The only known cause of mesothelioma is asbestos exposure. Thousands of hardworking men and women, including many U.S. veterans and industrial workers, have been diagnosed with mesothelioma because manufacturers knew the dangers but put profits ahead of people. An estimated $30 billion in court-ordered trust has been set aside to pay money to asbestos victims. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, call now. You may be entitled to receive compensation without ever going to court or filing a lawsuit. Call for a free legal consultation at 1-800-218-HELP. Help. That's 1-800-218-HELP.
Okay, open your mouth and say, aw.
Ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor-recommended Say Aw Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com, the new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
He's bringing on his robotic voice. That's how they wanted aliens to speak in the 1950s, by the way. Chris has picked up that voice character perfectly. We have Stan Gordon. We have Astonishing Encounters. Stan, please continue.
Okay, so anyhow, these people see this thing on the ground. Jim Romanski was the first eyewitness we actually found, and actually in 1987 as a result of a very large UFO display I had at one of the local malls here. And it wasn't until then that we actually had somebody actually saw the object on the ground. And Jim's story was really interesting. He was a young volunteer fireman, not from Kecksburg. He was from one of the local areas, one of the mutual aid fire departments, who had been called out to assist in the search for a possible downed aircraft in the Kecksburg area. And he and a small group of other firemen came out and joined other firemen out of Kecksburg. They were going to search this large wooded area for what they thought was a downed aircraft. Anyhow, they had walkie-talkies with them. They were put in the trucks and left off at different locations along the perimeter of the woods to go up there and begin the search. And he said they weren't out very long when they got a radio call from one of the teams as they came across the object. And Jim joined some of these other firemen on this little embankment only a few feet away from this thing, was semi-buried in the ground. And they're looking at this thing, and they're realizing whatever this thing is, it was made by someone or something. It was no meteorite. And as they're standing there, two men in trench coats, really stern-looking men, come down through the woods and look at the object and look at them and start yelling, this area is now quarantined. You got to get out of here. We're talking about Jim Romanski, who was the young volunteer fireman, who that day was down there with a search team. And they came across the object, and while they were there, the soldiers had come down through the woods, and they were told to get out of the woods. So he was the first eyewitness we had to the object on the ground. And then a year later, we got an anonymous tip that another local man had seen the object coming down, and he went down into the woods, and he was probably the first or one of the first to actually see the object. It was embedded down there in the wooded ravine. That was Bill Bullybush. Since then, of course, we found other eyewitnesses and many other people around the area that saw the object that was coming down that day. But there's one case, you're talking about the MIB, there was one thing that surfaced in more recent years. You know, even though this is now approaching the 50th year, year after year, including this year, because I do a lot of local events and speak at a lot of local organizations, every once in a while, I find some witnesses have come up to me with new information. And back in November of 2002, as you recall, the Sci-Fi Channel was supporting a new group called the Coalition for Freedom of Information. And the head of that group was Leslie Kane, a journalist who was very involved in UFO research. And they chose Kecksburg as their first case to investigate. So they put a lot of resources in, and they were able to get into certain areas and track down certain leads I couldn't. And, in fact, they located some of the Air Force personnel who were on the scene that night at Kecksburg. That's another interesting story. You mind me to tell you about that, too? But anyhow, as all this is unfolding locally, and there's a lot of local news about this more intense investigation back at that time period, there was a whole list of new witnesses who were willing to talk with me. But there was one particular name, I'll call this man Joel, whose name had come to my attention, I believe it was about 13 years before at that time. I had called Joel at that time because I got a lead that he had been hiding down in the woods that day from the military and watching them as they're loading the object onto the truck. And when I contacted him, he didn't deny it. He just said his family didn't want him involved, and he was afraid of getting in trouble with the government, and he didn't want to be involved. So now, years later, here's his name again. So I contacted him and made arrangements to go out and interview him as soon as I could. And when I went out there to interview him, the guy's an older fellow, retired fellow. And when I got there, he was a little nervous, and he said, look, I changed my mind. My wife still didn't want me to talk about it, and I was just going to cancel this. Well, we sat down, and we got to know each other a little better, and I shared some basic information with him on the case. And he said, well, now that you're here, I might as well tell you some of my story. And that went on to numerous other interviews. But anyhow, and we could talk for a long time. This was very extensive. But anyhow, the story was, to make it short, he had heard that the object had fallen down in that wooded area, that large wooded area where it fell. He, like many others, knew that area because they hunted down there. So he and his brother went out to the scene after hearing the news. He told his brother that he was going to go down the woods and see if he could find that thing, the object. He had a flashlight, but he didn't use it. And he told me that he found his way down to the site from what it looked like electrical arcing down in the woods, which other witnesses described to me as well. This thing was emitting like blue and some others said some different colors of electrical arcing coming off the object itself. And he found his way down into that area, and he gave me some real specific information of how it was positioned and what he saw down there. And he goes on with the story that he was hiding down in the woods, and he kept moving back further into the woods as people began to come in. And he said first they were civilians, and he said they could have been volunteer firemen. He didn't know. But soon after they left, the military began to come in. And he said, I knew the military because I was in the service. He said he saw both Army and Air Force personnel. And his story gets stranger and stranger. It's a long story, too. But what he said to me was that there was one person in particular, and apparently more than one, but one fella he kind of focused on, and he said, I didn't know if he was a politician. I guess he was a congressman or a senator, but he was some kind of politician. I said, what do you mean? He said, yeah. He said, that guy was down there. He had a camera, and he was dressed in a black suit with a black hat with a tie, and he was all dressed up down in the woods. He said, like, why would there be a politician down in the woods? And this guy was given orders to the military, and he was taking photographs of the object. He called the object the hickey. He said, this guy took taking pictures of the hickey, of the trees that were damaged, had been knocked down in the area. From where he was, he couldn't see well, but he said there was some tracks on the ground near the object. He said it looked almost like deer tracks, but he couldn't see that far away. And he said that guy and others were very interested in those tracks, take a lot of pictures of them. And he said, I kind of had a feeling that something may have gotten out of that thing before I came. But we don't know. But then he did see something else that was very strange, and that gets us to a whole different perspective on Kecksburg now. And I don't know if you want to go into that part of it or not right now.
Well, we have a bunch of questions, Dan. When you're on the show, it seems that people come out of the woodwork because you've got so much interesting investigation and research work under your belt. I've got one question here that's very interesting. And there's a photograph of a very mysterious object that they found on your site, Stan Gordon's UFO Anomaly Zone. And it appears to be almost like a buoy shaped. It's pointed at both ends. It appears to be welded out of metal. If you're on the Paracast forum, there's a very, very good photograph of it. What the heck is this thing, Stan?
Well, we don't know. It's still a mystery. After so many years, there was an incident that happened in Hermony, Pennsylvania, Westmoreland County, back in June of 1980. A very credible family. And about 9:30 that night, the woman in this rural home happened to look out her back window and saw hovering behind her home in the trees an object about the big as a car headlight, a bright object. And a few minutes later, when she looked and went back in the window, it was gone. Roy didn't think much of it. The interesting thing is, the next day, her husband, up on that hill, discovers a strange metallic object sticking out of the ground on the hill behind the house. Now, this is a very secluded area. I mean, if you're going to hoax something, why wouldn't you put it in a place where people are going to see it? That's one thing. But anyhow, what they found out sticking out of the ground, this thing, it looks like two large metallic cones welded together. It's weighs around 20 pounds. It's about 21 inches long. And it's very interesting. It's hollow inside. We have labs examine it. And we know what it's made of. It's made of mainly nickel, chromium, and iron. So it's basically 100% stainless steel. The whole mystery is, like, why would anybody manufacture? Why would they make it? And the various labs have looked at it, and we know what it's made of, but nobody knows why it'd be made for any purpose, and why would it be found after a UFO incident? And it's one of a number of physical anomalies that I recovered over the years. Another one, the first one we recovered, actually it was a number of samples, was back 1972.
Let's go into more of the things that you've recovered. We have Stan Gordon. The book is Astonishing Encounters. And it's astonishing we've remained connected this long. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.